Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm really happy to see you here today. I hope the weather will be fine. Everything will be great. I do have a few announcements. We were going to have installation of officers today, but we're going to move that to next week. I also wanted to remind you, if you didn't get an Epiphany Star word, there are still some in the back with a little explanation of what they are and how to use them. And if you have anything that you would like to include in the valley, you will want to get that to Arlie by Friday. If you don't know who Arlie is, I know a lot of people don't know who Arlie is. Are there any other announcements? Anything else? All right. With that, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. God built the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. God calls us to be builders as well. God calls us to build our lives, to restore broken places and continue to grow. God calls us to build our faith, to study the word and ponder its interpretation. God calls us to build our community, to build bridges of understanding and systems of justice. God calls us to build history by fulfilling the promises of Scripture, to preach the good news of God's love and liberation for all people. All right, let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn, Let's Build a House.
Thank you.
Let us now confess our sins as an offering of trust in God's love and forgiveness for us. God of our restoration, whenever we come home to you, we realize how far we have strayed and how much we have forgotten of your law and your love. We have not loved you with our whole hearts or loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us, heal us, and restore us to our relationship with you through Jesus Christ, whom we trust. God's word does not come to condemn us, but to make us wise, reviving our souls and rejoicing our hearts. God's word has been fulfilled among us in Jesus Christ, who sets us free to live in accord with God's own jubilee. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Yes, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Just mention a favorite hymn. I had a choir on Thursday night, but I only have two of them here today, so
do it.
Yeah, does anybody have a favorite hymn that you'd like to do? Yeah, just play the music.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Okay, that too, that works great.
Thank you, Arlie. What number is that?
There we go, thank you. 465, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy. Please pray with me. God of prophets and apostles, you call us to restore that which is broken and to proclaim your vision of a world made new. Create in us new hearts and strong voices. We pray for those who have been anointed as leaders of people, that they may attend to the voices of their people and be guided by you. We pray for pastors and teachers of the church, that they may faithfully interpret your word for others. We pray for those who are poor and in need of assistance, and for ourselves, that we may open our hearts to their cries for help. We pray for those with physical challenges and spiritual struggles. We especially pray for Kathy Enrieto as she prepares for surgery on Friday, for myself and all other seminarians preparing for ordination exams this week. We pray for BJ, who's not feeling well. We also pray for Sandy Salmon, who has been having frequent headaches. Make us agents of healing and hope for them. We pray knowing you hear us, and we give thanksgiving for answering all of our prayers. May we continue to see the often unexpected ways you walk alongside us. God of the call, make us the body of the risen Christ, united in all of our diversity. Animate us by your Holy Spirit, that together we may work with you toward our coming kingdom. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us rise as you're able and join in the singing of Jesus Calls Us, number 720. Be seated. It is in joyful thanksgiving for all that we have been given that we now return to God our tithes and offerings in order that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. Bless these gifts that we've been given, that they may further your merciful reign in the world. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Luke 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." May Lord bless the reading of the Lord.
Let us pray. By the power of your Holy Spirit at work in the word read and proclaimed, make the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, the Gospel of Luke has a lot of themes in it, but I see, especially in this passage, and throughout this whole chapter, the theme of the Holy Spirit preparing Jesus for ministry being of central importance. And there might be some people who disagree with me, but I can also see an example of how the Holy Spirit prepares us all for ministry. It's not that I think that any of us are Jesus, but the Holy Spirit does work through us, calling and preparing us for ministry in much the same way that Jesus was. So right before this passage, Jesus was claimed by the Holy Spirit through his baptism, and then he was sent into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tested. And while he's there in the wilderness, people throughout the region just start talking about this amazing guy. And after he overcomes temptation, Jesus sort of travels around from place to place, teaching in the synagogues, and even more people hear about him. And finally, he gets to his hometown of Nazareth. And like any good Jewish man, he attends the Sabbath worship at the synagogue. And everyone remembers, you know, this guy. He was that little boy that used to run around in the synagogue and, you know, and would like stand up and like talk, and everybody thought it was real cute. And now, you know, that hometown boy is all grown up and he's basically famous. Coming to our small little town. And that's just one of the ways that Jesus turns this, you know, seemingly ordinary Sabbath into something extraordinary when he gets up to read. But if we're really being honest, pretty much any time Jesus shows up, the ordinary turns extraordinary. So Jesus is handed the scroll of Isaiah. And this is a major prophet that spends a lot of time talking about God's messianic promise. I can just see Jesus, you know, being handed the scroll and just sort of rubbing his hands together, getting ready to lay some witness down to his hometown synagogue. So Jesus opens up the scroll. He chooses the passage that he wants to read. It ends up being Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The passage Jesus reads refers to the Spirit of God, the same Spirit who brought him to Nazareth. And the Gospel of Luke spends quite a bit of time showing us that the Holy Spirit is the one that guides and empowers people for ministry. And in this instance, Luke is using this passage from Isaiah as a way of presenting how the Holy Spirit sort of, you know, like rests upon Jesus to proclaim good news. Specifically, good news to the poor. And not just those who are economically poor, but all people who are marginalized. The prisoner, the blind, the oppressed. So having finished reading the passage, Jesus, you know, rolls up the scroll, hands it to his attendant, and he sits down. Everyone's eyes are just fixed on him. I envision the people sort of leaning forward, and their jaws are just slack, waiting for what Jesus will say or do next. This isn't just the ordinary scripture that we've heard read before. So after Jesus sits down, he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Wait, what? I imagine this hometown congregation filled with all of the characters, rich and poor, seeing and blind, oppressed and oppressor, each wondering what this liberation looks like for them. And did that man that we once knew as that little boy just say that he was the fulfillment of these things? I wouldn't blame them for being just a tad bit skeptical. But yes, Jesus himself is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the one who has been anointed, called, if you will, to preach and proclaim the good news of God. We already know that as the story unfolds, Jesus travels from town to town, teaching, healing, living out the good news, so that everyone can see the salvation that God offers. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but right after this, the congregation becomes vocally skeptical. Wait a minute. Wasn't this Joseph's son? Joseph? The carpenter? Who does he think he is? They become so incensed that they literally ran him out of town and tried to throw him off of a cliff. And to be perfectly fair, this kind of thing is hard to hear when we're not among the poor, marginalized, oppressed, or imprisoned. And even though this is challenging to hear, maybe the bright side is that Jesus left out the next verse of Isaiah that references God's vengeance. Jesus is focused on bringing healing and justice, not retribution. So you see, when Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, the Holy Spirit empowers him for ministry as God's Messiah. And I can't even imagine that we would have a church, like Big C Church, if it weren't for the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. That early church, the beginnings, we didn't have buildings or paid staff, very few members, no budget. I knew somebody was going to say But it is purely the Holy Spirit that continues to bring Christ to us. And it empowers each of us to do something for God. One of the questions that I often get when people, like I'm meeting people and they first find out that I'm in seminary, one of the questions they ask is, oh, well, how is the church doing these days? And I think what they really want to ask is if I think that this is a stable career choice. And that's not really why I'm here. I don't think asking how are we doing as a church is really the right question. I think the better question is, as a church, what are we doing for God? Knowing our mission and understanding what God has given us to do, both as a church and as individuals, is as important for us today as it was when Jesus spoke in his hometown synagogue. And I think also at first glance, we tend to think of Jesus referring to himself when he says that the scripture is fulfilled. And I don't deny that the scripture is referring to Jesus. But what if that scripture, in Jesus speaking it, is also referring to us? As people who trust in Jesus, we've been imbued with the Holy Spirit at our baptisms. And as Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit, we are also given the Spirit's power to facilitate God's reign of mercy on earth. Call and discernment are shocking, right? A big thing at seminary. It's a regular topic of conversation amongst students, just in like our regular getting together type of thing. We talk about it in classes. We have private discussions with our professors and advisors. I have a spiritual director that I meet with once a month. And I'll say that God has been calling me for quite a while. And for a very long time, I have hit the ignore button. But God doesn't give up. You can't block God's number. Trust me, I have tried. The Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us gifts, and He expects us to use them in service to God, often in unexpected and unconventional ways. God has been calling each and every one of you, too. Maybe not to go to seminary and become a pastor. God needs more than just ministers in the world. But I've seen the way that many of you answer the Spirit's call. Some of you have been called to care for your grandchildren. Some of you make meals and provide a listening ear to your neighbors. Some of you are called to use your mechanical or technical expertise, while others are asked to use their organizational skills. Some of you provide safe streets for children to go to and from school. And some of you have answered the call to participate in church leadership. This is where the sermon was supposed to just flow very nicely into the installation of officers. But we'll just hold on to this thought for a second, and we'll come back to it next week.
The anthem would have fit really well.
We can... You know what? We roll what we do with what we got. So yeah, some of you have answered the call to participate in church leadership. A lot of you have. And Lynn and Kathy, you know, they'll be installed next week on session and board of deacons. Witnessing the gifts that each of you are blessed with is one of my favorite things, and it's one of the things that really propelled me towards ministry. I love hearing about the ways that you serve God's people, both within and outside of the church. And I pray that you continue to listen to and discern the ways that the Holy Spirit is calling you, because that call is always changing. What you're called to do in your 20s is different from your 40s, which is different from in your 70s. So when God calls, don't be afraid. The Spirit calls and empowers. Don't let this call go to voicemail. Thanks be to God. Amen. So let's go with our closing hymn, number 80, You Shall Go Out With Joy. Right? Sorry, I'll try to tone down my excitement about being in church. Before we leave, let me give a blessing. As we go from this place on this day holy to God, we rejoice in the strength of God. We fix our eyes on the grace of Christ, and we drink deeply of the Spirit who makes us one. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thank you.